Hopefully everybody has an outline. We find these outlines a little bit helpful. At least that's what people tell me, so they can go back and study a little bit. And I think that with worship and things that we do here, as well as minister the word and everything, it's kind of important that when we worship, we have more than a moment with the Lord, and it impacts us. And we come to Sunday service, maybe someone has a word for us, a word of encouragement. We see a friend. But also that we get a new encounter with the Word of God, maybe in a new way. And I got to say something for you that are newer to us. There's a number of you that are newer to us. And, of course, I've been doing this a while. But I've noticed sometimes what happens to us is the Lord brings a whole wave of new people. And they are meant to I used to think it was for us, but actually I realize that it's part of it is for them. That actually some of you the Lord is planting in a new way, and also for whatever reason you're here, because the Lord's going to take you on in whatever calling and ministry and you have. And so that's sometimes God does that. He replants us to a new planter so that we can grow in a new way. And I think that's happening. I can tell some of you are already quite mature. You've come in and you're a part of us, and just welcome. And so we're not only excited to have you here, but we're excited to see what the Lord wants to make of you and the next step for your life and the giftings that he wants to release. Sometimes God brings people to new places because there's something that was in them that they expressed in another setting or another time of their life. And the Lord wants to take some dormant seed that maybe has been dormant for a while and take it again and make it into something new and even more powerful than they had before. I think with the Lord, he always wants us to go on, upward and onward, right? And he replants us sometimes, just like you do with plants. Sometimes they just need to be repotted. And when it goes the other way, sometimes people leave here to be repotted in a new place, new area of the country, whatever. I got that distinct impression. There's new mercy being given, new gifts that are coming out both to us from you and then from you, maybe that you haven't had pulled out of you in a while, maybe even discover new things. So we're in a new season of our Wednesday night classes. We call it Life in the Spirit. My class is up here in the front, and I had a bunch of new, not a bunch, but a few new faces that I really enjoyed interfacing with, and I'll be doing that again this coming Wednesday. Our class, we have the worship. What time does the worship start, everybody? Six. And then the time is at 6:30, where we divide up into different classes. We mentioned that already. You can see it in your bulletin as well, but I have a class up here in the front, and sometimes I cut it short. Sometimes there's a few people. Sometimes I have a whole bunch of people. It all depends. But I get to meet people and spend some time with them that are newer. So my Life in the Spirit class is just right here in the front, and it's on Wednesday night. And I know Wednesday sometimes a little bit early for some of us. 6 o'clock is kind of hard to get at our job and then in motion, right? It's difficult because a lot of us drive long distance and stuff. But even if you just get here by 6:30, just look in your bulletin, see the classes that are being offered, and we have a number of great ones. They're always great, but I'm really happy about the next season that we have with regard to our classes. They're very, very, they equip us in all kinds of ways, and so I'm very, very happy about that. All right, so hopefully you should have in your outline an outline that says the mercy that speaks and rewards. And so God gives us a voice in the world to speak to the world individually and also corporately. And hopefully by God's grace, our voice is being extended out to the wider world as well as to other people in the church. But there's a mercy behind the speaking. There's a mercy behind the voice of God that is so amazing, and a mercy that God gives to reward us and to encourage us. And all of this is surrounded with just the lovely, beautiful compassion of the Lord. And also, as we read through some of these passages, what I'd like to get over to you is how much the Lord loves it when we minister in weak places, to the poor, to the weak, to people that need food, people that maybe need a friend, those sort of things. And so there's a mercy that God gives us that he uses to speak through us, and a mercy that he gives us to reward us, but also that same mercy that we receive goes out, right? And it's meant to go out. And so the New Testament, Old Testament are full of this value system. And it's a mercy, really, in its raw form, the love of God that inspires us then to be lovers, the love of God that causes us to speak, to encourage people, right? it speaks to us first, the mercy comes, you know, and then we, out of that overflow, speak to others. And I don't think you can get enough inflow, and I don't think you can get enough outflow. And both, but that's a wonderful cycle. So, and I think if you look at the scripture carefully, you see, and you're going to see what I'm talking about more specifically, both in the Old and the New Testament. So Jesus himself, this is an outline, hopefully you have an outline, it should say in Roman number 1, Jesus brought a new, compassionate way of speaking to us, a new wineskin. This lifestyle was prophesied by Jeremiah the prophet. And so he was quite a different kind of person, a different kind of prophet that came on the scene. He just upended all kinds of traditions. But I think at the very root of it, the main thing he brought was mercy. And of course, he demonstrated that in his own life and then shedding blood for us on the cross. And so we see that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But this love and compassion that God gives us that is evidenced by dying for us and resurrecting from the dead, but by the Spirit who gives not just encouragement in the sense of kind of keeping us up or not only just spiritual gifts operating through us, but he speaks mercy to us, but what his plan is that we would also speak mercy to other people, that our whole life would be expression, individually and corporately, would be an expression of mercy to the world. So I want to just start with Jeremiah chapter 22, verses 15 to 17. It's talking about these kings that are arising that God wasn't too happy with. Up above at verse 14, he says, this guy, this king said, I'm going to build myself a great palace with spacious upper rooms, and I got all kinds of plans for being a king, right? But look at verse 15. And by the way, God calls us in the New Testament, interestingly enough, priests and kings. Isn't that interesting? Does it make you a king to have more and more cedar? Verse 15 of Jeremiah 22. Did not your father have food and drink? He did what was right and just, so all went well with him. So he links this all went well with him pretty soon, as we're going to see. What did he do that all went well with him? He defended the cause of the poor and needy, and so all went well. Wow, pretty nice prescription. You want all to go well? Defend the cause of the poor and needy. That's why monarchies succeeded and some didn't. That's the drawing line, right? Not only their sin, but their desire for ministering to the poor, the weak, the broken, making sure their people are taken care of, making sure that even the government had something to do, the government of God had something to do with those the people that needed mercy. Is that what it means to know me, declares the Lord? Is that not what it means to know me, declares the Lord? But your eyes and your heart are set only on dishonest gain, on shedding innocent blood, and on oppression and extortion. So this king had the wrong idea. He was going the wrong way. He's all in it for himself. But does it make you a king to have more and more cedar? Sometimes we even get theologically in that place. More and more cedar, look how blessed I am. Da, da, da. But here's a real king. He defended the cause of the poor and needy. So all you royal priesthood out there, this is what makes you a royal priesthood. Defend the cause of the poor and needy. And so the mercy that we give speaks to other people that are receiving that mercy and also to the whole world. Radical mercy for the sick and the sick of the heart is something that Jesus made sure he brought on the scene. And we just see that through his ministry. So Matthew 9, verse 1, Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, take heart, your sins are forgiven. I like that. He saw their faith and responded to it. He still does that. At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. So he's healed this guy, and he said something about his sins being forgiven, and this now it's blasphemy. That's what a religious spirit will do every time. They'll take something beautifully and lovely and compassionate and turn it into something religious and despicable and horrible. Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on the earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, get up, take up your mat, and go home. Then the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to a man, but also to all of us. Jesus said we have the same authority. He gave that same authority to us. So even like with regard to us praying for one another and seeing miracles, you can make that into sort of a cult and kind of a whatever, you know, and who's got the biggest miracle, who experienced whatever. Or you could just see, look, we've got to move in this stuff because people need compassion. Nothing like getting healed from a disease. Now, we have people in the hospital right now that need to be healed. Corey, Lord, I just pray for Corey right now. I just pray, get him out of that hospital bed. And I just pray you completely deliver him from where he's at. And Lord, he has showed so much compassion to other people. It's just an easy thing to say. You're going to show compassion to him. So we just release that to him right now in Jesus' name. So if you look at moving on to Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 to 7, we get a little bit more flavor here of what we're actually after here this morning. And I just love these verses so much. They're some of my favorite verses along with others that I've seen in the New Testament that have the same flavor. Shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet, declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out, they seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. So they see it really easy. This is very interesting. They're doing all kinds of religious things. I'm sure they showed up at just the right time of the festivals. They were just doing right, you know, kind of what the seasonal thing required. And maybe on the Sabbath they were doing special stuff, right? But they were pretending. That wasn't what God was quite after. He was after a little bit more. They asked me for just decisions and seemed eager for God to come near them. So they had all kinds of religious stuff, but there was something missing. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today. You got all the outward stuff, but I'm looking for something else. How can you do that and expect your voice to be heard on high? How many want their voice heard on high? Some of you don't know. Must not have heard from the Lord for a while. Is this the kind of fast I've chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Are we just going to fast and do all this stuff? Are we just going to go to church for religious reasons? Make sure we check the box and some little fire insurance, hoping that God sees it and we get some favor on our life? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Is this not the kind of fasting I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke? To set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn. Wow. So we don't have to do all this stuff. We get to do it. Because pretty nice. Your light will break forth like the dawn. Seems backwards, doesn't it? Seems a little backwards. And even the things that we do around here, they are our greatest pleasure. We get to have a mercy warehouse and all the other things that we get to do with regard to the poor, the weak, and the nations and around. We get to. It's a privilege. It's an honor. It's a beautiful thing. And attached to it is unusual stuff. Like, let's look at verse 7 again. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and provide the poor wanderer with shelter? All of these much easier said and imagined in a universe far, far away. Because when you actually start to do this, you find out that it's not so glamorous and not so romantic. It's actually a lot of sacrifice, a lot of hard work. But work well invested. Work well invested. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. When was that? Like when you see the naked and clothe them. You provide the poor wanderer with shelter. When you share your food with the hungry. This is mercy that speaks and rewards. It speaks to the world and rewards you. And rewards that those that are on the other side of it. Look at this verse. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. So you do this, and guess what? Your light breaks forth like the dawn. We don't have to do this kind of lifestyle. We don't have to do these kind of things. We get to. And your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call. Wow. And the Lord will answer. You'll cry for help, and he'll say, here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression and with the pointing of finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. So I got ahead of us a little bit, but a little bit down into C. But that's the thing. You don't have to, you get to. I like this part. You'll call and the Lord will answer. So this whole lifestyle of doing away with critical spirit, pointing, spinning ourselves on behalf of the hungry, gosh, then on the other side of it is your light will rise, whatever that looks like. How many want to be guided? You'll be guided always, not just halfway. What does that mean, guided? It's not that super spiritual, like, do I go here or do I go there? Do I get that job or do I not? Do I go live over here or do that? Do I make that decision or do I not? What do I do with that family member? What do I do with my life? What's my new job now? Whatever else you need to be guided in. What a promise here. Wow. Releasing mercy causes all of this to happen not only toward us. Give and what? It shall be given to you. The Lord will guide you like this. Always. I don't like to get guided just kind of the time, part of the time. I hate it when I go in a season where I don't know what I'm doing, right? But the Lord says, I'll always make sure I guide you. He will satisfy your needs. He'll strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden. Why? Because you gave mercy to somebody else. You'll even be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. I think that's probably a good name for us. We should be called repairer of broken walls vineyard, restorer of streets with dwellings. Mercy, mercy speaks. No more humbling and fasting without also blessing the weak and the oppressed. No more quarreling and doing religious things and pursuing things. This is the heart of the gospel. This is the heart of who we are, right? And it's at the heart of all of that activity is the mercy of God that was shown to us and then released to other people. So look at Roman numeral 2, mercy that builds the bridges of God. Jesus spoke a language that even Matthew, the tax collector, and his friends could understand. A common meal with genuine openness and love. And the amazing thing was the Pharisees and the religious rulers thought that he was a sinner for going and eating with such people. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples, which must have freaking those poor disciples out. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Wow. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. What a beautiful passage of Scripture. Then John's disciples came and asked him, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he's with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the garment will pull away from the garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine, new wineskins, and both are preserved. So this new wineskin has a lot to do with the deeds that people recognize as good, and even some deeds that people don't recognize as good, but are good, just because they're decorated, you know, they're pointed toward the wrong kind of person or pointed in a way that we just could not imagine. Maybe the most sinful amongst us. God wants to use these bridges of love and mercy to speak his message to the world. And so that's one reason why we have a mercy warehouse. I like the way it's named. I think I like its name more every day because of the things that are able to be accomplished through that. And, you know, there's so much more to be accomplished, though we've done a little bit. But we've made some progress, and at least it was in our heart's desire. And we didn't get that from just some amazing revelation. We just got it from, well, God likes that kind of stuff. He really, really calls attention to this, right? And so there's this mercy that speaks, but there's also on the other side of it just this wonderful reward, and I don't want us to miss that one. We didn't do it for reward, but you can't help but getting love back by the Lord and the mercy that you need. Bridges of love and mercy. What are some of those? Food, shelter, clothing. And here's one. No pointing of the finger and malicious talk. Satisfying the needs of the oppressed. Breaking chains. And we see this all the way back in the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 58. It's the most beautiful passage of Scripture. And these are the ones that Jesus alluded to, paid attention to, draw out, and walked in his everyday life. This mercy that speaks and rewards. So he's talking about fasting. He says, you know what? Isn't this the kind of fasting? I know you guys fast and pray to get my attention and everything, but how about this part of speaking to the world? How about this part of speaking to my heart? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? Wouldn't you see the naked to clothe them and not turn away from your own flesh and blood? Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression and the pointing finger and the malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. Man, I tell you, these kind of things, how many are signing up for this part now? How many want the light to rise in the darkness? Night to become like noonday, your night, whatever night you're going through. Well, there's a little prescription here. You don't have to do this. You actually get to do these things. Yes, it's costly, but you get to do them. And the seed sowed, you can't outgive God. Give and it shall be given to you. Notice that one? Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given to you. Then how's it given back to you? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Now here's the interesting thing about all that. So you don't give to get, you don't give to manipulate, but yet at the same time, you know that when you're about the Father's business, sowing mercy in the world, that there is this law put into motion, and it comes back to you. It doesn't always come at the exact moment. Matter of fact, sometimes we get offended by God because when he's going to bless us and give back to us, he doesn't give it exactly the right moment. I think we all have a serious problem with time, unlike any other culture probably in the whole world. The Western modern culture is obsessed with time, but not in the right way. They're too busy, actually, for God, mostly, and too busy doing so many important, amazing things, partially because you can, right? You can hop in a plane and be in Europe in a few hours, you know, that sort of thing. But look at this lifestyle again. You do away with the yoke of oppression, pointing finger. This answered prayer, you'll call and the Lord will answer. The Lord will guide you always. This lifestyle, making this a lifestyle is like, you don't have to do this, you get to do it. He'll guide you always. He'll satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land when you're in a sun-scorched land. See, this mercy that we give away is also speaking, not just to the world, but it's speaking to God. He likes this kind of talk. He likes it a lot. Matter of fact, a lot more than I even thought. He'll guide you always. He'll satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. He'll strengthen your frame. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. How about that? I want to be like that. I don't want my springs to fail anymore. I don't want to be dry anymore. I want to be like a well-watered garden. I want everything coming up. I want my kids to be okay. I want my family to be okay. I want everybody to be healthy. I want your reward, Lord. I want your voice in my head telling me, good job. And I want your love. I can't earn your love, Lord, but out of your love I want to give away. And as I give away, I just get even more of your love. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You'll be called broken, repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. Restorer of streets with dwellings. It's amazing to me in this incredible culture that we live in that we have a housing crisis. It's incredible, isn't it? With all the wealth, through all these areas, we have a housing crisis. Even for our loved ones, even for our kids that we have, like 20-year-olds or 21-year-olds, or for anybody, period. Everything's too expensive. Everything's crazy. And then, of course, the people that are just on the street. I don't know about you, but I'd like to take this rebuilding the ancient ruins and foundations and repairing the broken walls and How about we be the restorer of streets with dwellings, which just means we help people find a place. We help people find a place to flourish and grow. And we are part of that whole process in terms of helping others. And then the Lord comes and does it for us. This mercy that we give in these areas, it speaks and it rewards. It speaks to the world about our Father in heaven and the mercy of God, and it rewards in such unusual ways. So if you look down at 2D, more bridges of love. I look like Matthew chapter 5, 38 to 48. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. Now this is Jesus speaking. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. Wow. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. Whoa. Ah, that's a little heavy, huh? If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. For you've heard it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Well, that's a pretty good definition of church, isn't it? Churches, we love. We come to churches. We figure out a church is a good fit for us because there's other people that we know and we have a lot in common with the people in that church. But I wonder if maybe a better definition is we like the way they minister and we like to do it with them. Maybe that kind of thing, right? If you love those who love you, what reward you get? But I wonder if we start loving people that aren't like us. Matter of fact, that's a difficult thing for us to do in our culture. We can be so insulated and living in our own world so easily in our own houses and our own places and our own jobs, right? It's hard to love those that maybe aren't so lovable. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? They have lots of buddies, lots of friends. I mean, when Jesus went to those dinners, that was a great fellowship. It was a great time. Hey, let's hear this weirdo guy speaking, man. He heals people and all kinds of stuff. And he doesn't mind eating with us either, you know. They're all showing up. They've already been hanging out with and eating dinner with each other for years, right? And if you greet only your people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, that word's a very good word because it doesn't mean so much be perfect in your behavior, do this, right, and all that. I mean, nobody could be perfect. But he's saying here, actually, the word would be better translated or could be translated, be complete, therefore, as your heavenly Father is complete. In other words, life isn't just for you, it isn't just for your reward, just isn't for your blessing, but it's meant to give away things. And this giving away things builds the bridges of God so that more people can know Jesus, so more people can come to God, more people can be healthy. And also it involves things beyond even these tangible things that we can give away, and sometimes charismatic churches like ours, or if you call Pentecostal, whatever, emphasize the signs and the wonders as well. True, that's a part of the process. Matter of fact, if you believe in the power of God, you can actually do better. You can do really well. Matter of fact, you can see people healed. We have people healed every week right outside the door here under that tent. I mean, literally every week. I would say probably every time we do that, every time we feed people. So we see a lot of stuff, a lot of supernatural things. Matter of fact, it turns out that ministry to the weak and the poor and miracles and signs of wonders go together. That's why I was so shocked, and I kept wanting to spend so much time in Asia and the Pacific and other places where I've been, right? Because when we go to those places, you know, we pray and pray and see a miracle here or there, and then we go to these places where the people are just living, you know, in the dirt. They're living in horrible situations, but man, they're getting healed right and left. The poor and healing and supernatural power go together. That's why I love the DNA of the Vineyard. The Vineyard has always had two parts to its DNA that I absolutely love and was actually a part of what John intended. One was this amazing, amazing commitment to the poor, but another would that we would be committed also to signs and wonders and miracles, called it doing the stuff, right? And of course, behind all of that is what he was reading in Scripture, the absolute adherence to the Bible as the Word of God. But when he looked at it, and when I look at it, and some of the others look at it, we see all this other thing about the Word of God. Yes, be good, but also do good. Release mercy that speaks, and you'll be rewarded as well. And if I could just say this also with regard to you that have been in a long-standing difficulty, a difficulty that maybe you just can't, something that's just eating your lunch, you just can't seem to get past. And you're trying and trying. It's almost like you're trying to get out of this box and you can't quite get out of it. I just encourage you to try something. Something that maybe you haven't tried yet. Get outside your box. Give away some mercy somewhere. Give of yourself. Do something kind for somebody else. Do it on a consistent basis. Pray for people. Pray for people that are in a bad place and aren't doing so well. Pray for people. Maybe even spend some time with people that maybe they're sort of oddballs. Nobody really lets them fit in their group. Sometimes I think we sort of miss our calling. And I think it's absolutely essential that if you go to a church like ours, you find good relationships and friendships. That's part of the glory of church. It's part of finding church. But also, isn't part of church including people that maybe aren't so friendly? Maybe people that we wouldn't quite want to get near? Maybe being a friend of someone that doesn't have any friends? Wow. I wonder if maybe that's why there's such a reward in this. Wonder if maybe when we let mercy speak through us, that God speaks mercy back to us. I'm reasonably certain that's the case. And the thing is, when we come to talk about such matters, it's very interesting to me, and I've been one of those for years. I was, but not now anymore, but I was. I'm just thinking that if I'm going to give mercy and compassion, I always think too high, too far, too broad. Maybe I should go take a trip to Africa amongst the villages there. Maybe I should do that. What you could, that would be a really good thing. Overseas will help you. For one thing, it'll help you to thank God for where you live. Be a lot more thankful. Do that, right? But these people, opportunities all around. Wouldn't it be a shame to have a ministry in another country, but never, ever have any kind of ministry, any kind of meaningful activity you do for the week here? Well, I don't know. I never see the week. Well, probably it's a possibility, but if you open your eyes a little bit, you'll see them everywhere. It just takes a little practice sometimes, because sometimes we're not practiced at it. I mean, the merciful church is what we should all be, and that means that we notice people when they're not doing well, and then we try to help. And we notice things that are crazy. We don't just walk on the other side of the road. Weird things. You know, stuff that you never saw before, now you see, you know. And also, we always want to overreact, you know. So we see somebody laying on a sidewalk, like I saw one night, and down over by my house. And the reason why it got to me so deeply is because we help people off the streets all the time. And I was just asking God, well, what do I do? It's like 11 o'clock. What do I do? You know, I don't know what to do. I mean, I don't know where to go. What do I do with this? And he just said one simple thing. Go home and get a blanket. Give it to her. So, I did. Good for me. But it's not that big a deal. Didn't cost me much at all, right? But the thing I liked about that is I didn't feel condemnation for not doing more. I just did what was in front of me. I think I learned a big lesson because I thought to myself, I'm going to really feel condemned, you know, and I actually even went back the next day to see if I could find her. Maybe we could help a little bit. I don't know, but that was just my assignment for the moment, right? And so I think if we loosen up a little bit and just start paying attention, God will bring people across our path. And we're not going to earn our way to heaven. And we're not going to do this and God's going to like us all more. No, it's just the lifestyle that the Spirit has. This is the way God loves to be. I like to be with God and this is where God loves to be. He likes to be with weak people. He likes to take care of them. He likes us to take care of him. And he also likes to be with you in your weakness. And he likes to be with you in your strength. He plain just loves you and adores you. He likes you just the way you are. And if you want to be a part of this, the more the merrier. He's happy with it. He's not putting a gun to your head. He already did that. He hung on a cross for you. He already did the sacrifice. He doesn't mean for you to be in a place where you're no good unless you sacrifice. You don't have to sacrifice. You get to do it as part of your relationship with the Lord. You get to do small things and big things. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. When he said the kingdom, he wasn't meaning just the great signs and wonders and miracles, but he was talking about this amazing ability just to be of help to somebody next door, somebody that needed a job, or somebody that needed an opportunity, or somebody that needed some food, whatever it is, right? This is mercy that speaks and rewards. It not only speaks to the world, it not only speaks to them, but it speaks to us, and it rewards. It rewards not only the ones we're ministering to, but also it rewards us. You can't outgive God. And so we don't have to do these things. We get to do them. And we get to do all kinds of cool stuff too, not just ordinary things, but super ordinary things. Jesus was amazing. He was ministered to the weak, but also he had power with him. He could raise the dead. He cast out demons. He came to people who were in utter despair, and he had the authority and the power. So we not only get to do the benevolent thing, we get to do the powerful thing. We get to be involved with all of it. And by the way, those two are really married. They're really married. I used to be in awe of how God would move when we would go into foreign countries and places and be in slums and everything. And I never drew the line to, you know what? Wait a minute. I could probably do that at home. Well, they're not that poor at home. Oh, really? Have you noticed this? And if you noticed that, I began to notice a little bit around the world around me. In a nice place like this where we live, it's not that hard. Matter of fact, until we really started doing some real detail, and I actually didn't even want to do the warehouse or anything like it for a long time because I thought we lived in too nice an area and nobody would come. Boy, was I wrong. And boy, did I underestimate our community, where it was at. And since that time, I realized how far I underestimated it. The people are there. The people are in need. Where you might not be is your eyeballs might see. You might not be able to see more than 18 inches in front of your face. You need to see. You need to see. And once you begin to see, you begin to see more and see more. And by the way, seeing isn't just pain. Seeing is joy, because actually in this lifestyle, this mercy, it speaks and it rewards. It doesn't just reward you in your stuff that you already have or more money. It rewards you in your heart, in your spirit. It takes bondage away from you. It causes you to smile. It causes you to be happy. It causes you to do the things that really, really count in addition to the things that you're already doing. But we just notice the weak in a different way. Boy, the thing is about this whole weak thing is what I really like about our church is we're not only equipped to do benevolence, but we're equipped to release power. So the same people that we see can get healed, physically healed. We might not even be able to afford a doctor appointment or a hospital visit, but we could afford to pray for you and see you get well. And we've seen many, many get well. And not just physically, but also emotionally and mentally. Many people we see on the street are mentally compromised. There's something wrong and they need to be healed. Sometimes just love will do it. Sometimes they need a supernatural power of God to heal their brain, their literal brain, which is one of the most interesting conflicts that we have all the time. Our culture wants to help. Our church culture wants to help. But what we don't want to help with and don't know how to understand is how we get to a person whose brain isn't right, who are as physically impaired as a person with a broken arm, only it's a broken brain. What do you do with that? Because they don't think like the normal person. They don't act like the normal person. They don't even say thank you like the normal person. But we're called to them. But what about our supernatural power for healing in the body? Could it not also heal the brain? Could we also not see that? And in the meantime, keep them off the street for a while? So at least they're not battling demons and all kinds of sorrow and getting beat up at night and all the rest? So this is why this whole lifestyle of mercy that speaks and rewards is so great. It's really practical, but also it's crazy supernatural, right? This is where you see so many great supernatural things, healing and all kinds of stuff. Jesus called his disciples, 12 disciples, to them and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. So look at what we do. We give this mercy away, and we've given power to heal impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Is that crazy or what? These are the names of the apostles. So it's interesting. I like it there because he names them all one by one. These are the 12 that are going to do this, right? Then here's their instructions. He says, don't go among the Gentiles or enter any of the Samaritans for now. And then the church learned later, changed my mind about that. Now you're going to go out the whole world, right? They had to negotiate that one because God still speaks. But this time was right now, offer my mercy and bring a fresh revelation of God to my people. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. And then guess what they get to do? Heal the sick, raise the dead. They must have gulped when he said that one. Cleanse those who have leprosy. That one too. I don't want to get anywhere near a leper. Drive out demons. Don't want to get close to that one either. Freely you have seen. I mean, look at what he said. No. Heal the sick. Yay! I like that. Raise the dead. Not so sure about that one. Cleanse the leprosy. I'm not sure I want to get even near that one. Drive out demons. I'm scared of demons. Freely you receive, freely give, right? Whoa. And he didn't pull punches. This is the clearest thing, right? This is what we give away. This is part of what we weigh. All of us charismatics, beautiful Pentecostals, got baptized in the Spirit, tongue talkers. Man, here we go. We can hear God's voice. I had a dream last night. You would not believe. But what about giving that power away? Oh, well, not so great at that. Especially to people who aren't like me. I mean, I like my friends and everything. We have a greatest thing. We have, man, so many people get healed in our group. But it comes down to healing somebody that actually has a medical disability and will not get well because there's no medicine for them. Or even maybe it's too late. They just have gone past the place where they just need a miracle. I think that mercy that speaks and rewards could get kind of fun if we'd spend time like that. I always thought to myself over and over again as I ministered overseas, God, why are all these people getting healed? I see blind eyes, deaf ears, and everything. And I thought to myself, but I wasn't making the connection. These are the desperate. These are the weak. But I wasn't making the connection. There might be a few desperate and weak people that you know that might show up around your place if you open the door. And then guess what? They probably could get healed too. As a matter of fact, I can tell you for sure, and that's exactly what's happened. We see more miracles and signs and wonders under that tent than we see anywhere. And it's not to point a finger at us. Just actually, it should be to our favor. We just opened it up, and we didn't forget to pray for the sick. And by the way, God really likes that. Because most of them are not doing well financially or doing well in their families or doing well at all. That's why they're there to get food, right? But that's miracle territory. So are your children. And so are those that have diseases and sickness even are immense. Romans chapter 15. Therefore I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. Look what he said. By what I have said and done. You could just stop it right there. Okay, Paul, you went to the Gentiles. We don't like that Gentile thing. We don't understand it. Fine, you go to the Gentiles. But then he says this. By the power of signs and wonders, mercy that speaks. How do you think all those Gentiles suddenly wanted to become Christians? Well, they weren't just offering Judaism or a revised version of Judaism because they're Jews. Signs and wonders. Mercy speaks. Through the power of the Spirit of God, so from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, turns out this is an international language. Everybody responds to signs and wonders. All the way from Jerusalem, all the way out where I go, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ, and I wonder if we fully proclaim the gospel of Christ if we don't also offer these signs and wonders. Signs and wonders that help the disciples know that Jesus was the Messiah are the same signs and wonders that people need to know today to know that Jesus is the Messiah. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel Christ was not known, so not be building on someone else's foundation. So he's bringing these signs and wonders, this mercy, not only to people that he knows, but people that he doesn't know. Matter of fact, he's a perfect picture of this mercy that speaks. He's going to people that don't know anything about God, right? And he's delivering them with signs and wonders and preaching the eternal gospel to them. And in the process of all of this, they understand God, because the mercy of God is speaking to them. And the signs and wonders do that. They help people understand that God's really interested, God's really there, and that God's a merciful God. And guess what? That same calling is for us. This gospel of the kingdom preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So some of you might not know. Some of you may know. I'm like a broken record with regard to this. I didn't know until I actually understood, went to a school of missiology, figured out how close we were to this possibility. There's been no closer possibility to being the gospel preached in the whole world and all the nations than in the year 2026. We're closer than we've ever been, than any century before us. We're closer. 2026. Why is that? Because the gospel is being preached throughout the whole world. Somebody's leaving their home and they're going to do signs and wonders, and guess what? Two things. will cause the gospel to light up on any board almost in the whole world. Do signs and wonders and heal the poor, and you'll have a church just like that all over the earth. Not too difficult. Someone gets raised from the dead, pretty soon you got a church. But that's not it. Also, you show them mercy to the people around. You give away things, and you teach them to give away things, and pretty soon this church becomes very odd in the culture. It's not only a religious culture, but it's a church that also cares for the poor and the weak. And they're nationals, not just missionaries. They're nationals doing this because we taught them to, because we showed them it was important, because we landed there, right? This whole little thing of the whole world being evangelized is nothing more than mercy speaking to the weak of the world. That's the change. And the other part of the change is that we have enough transportation and enough ability to get to them. We know who they are. We know where they live. We have massive charts to know every unreached person on the planet. We also know how to get to them. By car, by boat, by air, we can get to them. And anybody can go. That's why this world that we live in is so odd. And of course, we also have the troubles and the trials and the tribulations to go with it. But even the troubles and the trials and the tribulation do nothing but open the gospel even further to lands that have been so closed. You think Iran and these nations in the Middle East, oh no, what are we going to do about the big bad Arabs and the Iranians? You know what we're going to do? They're going to come to Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to do. They're going to come to it probably through the suffering, probably through the pain. They've already been in a great deal of pain. Iran is full of the gospel right now because of people in pain, persecution, and all kinds of ornery things that have been done to them has done nothing but foment the gospel. And it's the same thing all around the world. We're ripe. This mercy that speaks and rewards is all over the earth right now. We have to probably ascertain the times. Sometimes I find myself gravitating a little bit toward just the awkwardness of what I see in the political spectrum, you know. I've thrown my shoe at the TV more than once. Just amazed at the thing. But don't let that distract you. Yes, there's people that are acting like sinners. Yes. And there's people that have highfalutin philosophies in the name of religion and in the name of goodness that stinketh, that are nothing more than dead works. Yes. But there's also people that are extremely hungry, that are looking for more. Now, I'm not so sure how excited I was. I'm driving down Aliso Viejo and no time for kings or whatever they're screaming and yelling and everything, you know, kids and everything. I don't know how excited I am about that. Actually, I do know how excited I am about that. Not very excited, actually. But I thought to myself, these guys are really religious. Wow. They got a hold of some religion here. Wow. What would happen if they got the real religion? They'd be great Christians. These guys are out in the streets for what they believe. That's pretty good. So I'm thinking to myself, you know, I probably shouldn't draw such hard lines. These guys might make great Christians. Paul, wow, he made a great Christian, didn't he? He's persecuting everybody in the name of God, in the name of his God, in the name of right and wrong, in the name of right and wrong. He's going the way the wrong direction. But look what happened to him. When he got turned around, he did pretty well, didn't he? Maybe that's what God has in store for all the do-gooders we see around. Maybe they really actually do have something on the inside that God wants to take, transform, and make, and use even further. Hallelujah. Because this gospel of the kingdom we preach in the whole world is a testament to all the nations, and then the end will come. And that's exactly the season we're in. All kinds of seasons, but if you want to know where you're really at, this is it. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. How do we do it? We give them mercy. And it speaks and that speaks and rewards. We give them mercy. The whole world is coming to this place. That's the unspoken thing. That's not what you're going to hear on the newscast every day, but it's exactly what's happening in all these places. Russia has an incredible community of God, but China has even a bigger one. Millions and millions of believers praying for their government. You kind of wonder where that's all going to end up when they got that many people. If suddenly we got rapture or something, I really feel sorry for the world. But while all the believers are here, I don't know, man. I don't know what's going to happen because I have a feeling that the power of prayer, the sowing of the good works of Jesus, the mercy that comes out of these places that speaks and rewards. Whoa, you just got all kinds of mercy givers. Even in downtown Tehran, you've got mercy givers. People that are doing this very thing that I'm talking about to their own people, right? So we are, according to the scripture, we are, God gives us this description. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. A town built on it. Yes, I know you're a light of the world, Jesus. No. You are the light of the world. I don't feel like a light. No, you are the light of the world. That's the problem. You don't feel like you're a light of the world, but you're a light of the world. I left so I could have lots of little lights all over the place. I had a light. It shone, but I want you to shine. I want to shine through you all over the earth. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on the stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. They may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Mercy that speaks. They see your good deeds. We don't have to have a mercy warehouse. We get to have a mercy warehouse. It speaks. It talks. We talk. Not it. We talk. We talk. We talk through it. We talk through all the other tools. We talk at work. We talk in Laguna Beach. We talk in Mission Viejo. We talk in our neighborhoods, wherever we are, right? So let's just look at this point three there in the end. The reward of releasing mercy to the world, God's chosen fast. So I want to read Isaiah chapter 58, 6 to 12. So to get good on God's good side, get him to speak to them and everything, they were sort of good at having these ritual things, and they would fast and pray and everything. But God was looking for something else. He was sick and tired of fasting, praying, religious stuff and all this, but a nation that had gone apostate and kings that didn't care anything about anybody except themselves. So he says in Isaiah 58:6, is this not the kind of fasting I've chosen? This is not the kind of religious behavior I'm looking for? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? Boy, there's a lot of that, by the way. Turn away from flesh and blood, because sometimes the problems are so difficult, people just don't know how to handle it. They don't know what to do, especially if it's a family matter. It's difficult sometimes. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. Whoa, so what if I do all this, then what happens? Your light. Well, what does it mean, my light? What do you mean by my light? Well, where do you need light? Well, I'm sick. I need light. My family's not safe. I need light. I don't have enough money. I need light. Whatever else light you need. Spiritual light. I'm lonely. I don't know God. I don't know if there is a God. I feel like my life is useless. It's just wandering. I don't know what my purpose is. Well, we do all this. Guess what it says? Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Your healing, what you need physically. I'll tell you one of the best prescriptions when you're sick is to pray for somebody else that's sick. Or give away something to somebody that's not doing well. Then your righteousness will go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. I kind of like that. Wow. Poor wanderer shelter. Even I don't turn away from my own flesh and blood, even. I'm nice to my sons and daughters that are acting like jerks, doing stupid stuff. Don't like me anymore. Hate my guts. Hate my God. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. Your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you. And the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. I'm not sure exactly what a rear guard is, but it sounds good to me. I think means protect you from behind in some case somebody attacks you. Is that what I mean? Okay. Anyway. Then you'll call and the Lord will answer. You'll cry for help and he will say, here am I. Whoa, what? Then you will call. What? Read all that stuff above that. Sharing your food. Well, then you call and the Lord will answer. Then is then. Then's there for what goes before, right? Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You'll cry for help and he'll say, here I am. Because mercy speaks to God. It speaks to the world. It speaks to your friends. It speaks to your neighbors. It speaks to your brother and your sister, your kids and your father and your mother. If you do away with the yoke of oppression with a pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then what will happen? Your light will rise in the darkness. All you entrepreneurs in the Lord that want to surf the ways of God and get better, and do better, and be healed and everything. Well, I think light in the darkness sounds pretty good. If you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, and the oppressed are all around us, the neighbor that's next door that's depressed, or loss of a son, or doesn't have any friends, that's pretty practical. And anything else that's necessary, needed. Then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. Hot dog, I like that. The Lord will guide you always. How many need guidance? Anybody need to be guided by the Lord? You need all you guys need to be guidance? Well, this scripture could be for you. The Lord will guide you always. You'll always know where to go. What's the next step? He'll satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land. He'll strengthen your frame. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. What are those? Those are the scriptural principles, the scriptural things that God's always been about from Genesis on. The people of God. Who are we in the earth? This is what we do. We repair broken walls. And we restore streets with dwellings. We give people places to live. Practically. We repair things that are not so good. All kinds of things. Depression and heaviness and mourning and difficulty. We're good at it. You know why we're good at it? Because we have mercy inside of us and we release it. It speaks. And it rewards. It causes things to move. It causes mountains to move. Look at Proverbs chapter 22. Getting to the end here. More reward for a kind, generous person toward the weak. I mean, it's all over the place in the scriptures. When you're going to get to hang of it a little bit and get started, it gets even more exciting. It's just that there's a lot that goes with it that's not like Hollywood, not like a movie. And it does cause sacrifice, and it does cause energy to be expended, and it does cause disappointment. When the very person that you helped bite you in the hand and bite you more than once, that happens. We just have to get used to that kind of stuff. Because even then, there's mercy. Even then, there's mercy. Mercy for us for having gotten bit. And mercy for the people that we're blessing. Blessed are those who have regard for the weak. I could just say that. That's it. That's the whole sermon right there. I could have just read that and then just that would have been the end of it, right? That would have been the sermon. But, you know, I'm a little wordy. I like to talk a long time. So we're just going to keep going. For some reason, you keep letting me speak, so I'm just going to keep going. But you'll notice I'm near to the end of the outline, so that's good. Good thing about an outline is you kind of know where I'm at in the whole thing, so you don't fall asleep or get mad, right? All right. How much longer is he going to go? Well, you'll see. He's got to Roman numeral 2. That's a good sign, right? Blessed are those who have regard for the weak. The Lord delivers them in times of trouble. Anybody ever been in trouble in here? Wow. Talk about an insurance policy. This is better than State Farm or Allstate or any of them. The Lord delivers them in their time of trouble. The Lord protects and preserves them. Oh, it keeps going on. They are counted among the blessed in the land. He does not give them over to the desire of their foes. The Lord sustains them on their sick bed. What? And restores them from their bed of illness. All that comes from having regard for the weak. That's a good deal. They may have all the money in the world, but sometimes you don't have all the health in the world. What else you're missing? Guard your children or your life. Proverbs 22:9. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. Well, that's a pretty good one. Just pure simple. Psalm 19:17, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. I just pronounce the Lord's blessed reward for all of you that have the seed sown and have helped us as we do this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord reward you for even a cup of cold water you gave yourself or you gave us to give to somebody else. May the Lord reward you. May the Lord make you generous, but overflowing with grace and mercy and kindness in your own family. And what hasn't been able to be healed or fixed in your own family, may the Lord reward you with healing in that particular area that you need. I want to finish there with this. I've already mentioned this a little bit, but I want to finish. Let's all stand. I'm going to finish with Jeremiah 22:13-16. This is an Old Testament language, but we get down to the end, we get the point. Well, now he's talking again to these kings that thought they were great, you know. They felt they were really impressed. They're the God's guy, of course. So they got big head because, first of all, they had all this power. And the second reason they had a big head is because they realized that only a king could only be a king unless God appointed them. So they're pretty full of themselves, right? I got God's blessing, plus I got all this power. It's pretty cool, you know. So a lot of kings went astray that God put in place because they just weren't like David, for example. That just did what God wanted. Woe to him who builds his palace by unrighteousness, his upper rooms by injustice, making his own people work for nothing, not paying them for their labor. God's even interested in what you pay the people that work for you. Wow. He says, I will build myself a great palace with spacious upper rooms. So he makes large windows in it, panels it with cedar, and decors it in red. Does it make you a king to have more and more cedar? Did not your father have food and drink? He was a king. He did what was right and just, so all went well with him. He's talking about his father, who was also a king. He's addressing a specific king here. He defended the cause of the poor and needy, so all went well. I like that scripture. He defended the cause of the poor and needy, so all. What could go well? I got a bag of money, but I already might have a bag of money. But maybe I have a child that doesn't know the Lord. Maybe I have pain in my body that doesn't seem to go away. All went well? That's pretty good. Is that not what it means to know me, declares the Lord? But your eyes and your hearts are set only on dishonest gain, on shedding innocent blood, and on oppression and extortion. But this verse 16, just the first verse, he defended the cause of the poor and needy. And I just want to declare, so all went well. Is that not what it means to know me, declares the Lord? Mercy that speaks and rewards. Amen. Lord, we just thank you, God, for these lovely words from the Scripture. Pray, God, that all of us, in our own way, personally and corporately, could see this lifestyle in motion and begin to see ways that we can respond to ordinary circumstances around us. Big ways, little ways, always with this thing in us, this kindness in us for whoever or whatever is weak around us. Would you just keep releasing that in us? We don't come by it naturally, but we ask that you would bring it supernaturally. Lord, bring this compassion and love. Bring us these opportunities, but help us to step in. And Lord, I thank you, God. Already we've been rewarded so much. We have so much, but you have so much more to give. I want to just pray for one thing, and then I'm going to invite anybody who would like to come up. Because I think that in a sermon like this, this is not only a giving sermon, this is a receiving sermon. Meaning that just by an act of your faith in a place like this, there are plenty of people carrying enough power and grace to get you healed and to get you well. Not by their own might, not by their own spirit, but the spirit that's resting on them. So I'd like to do a couple of things. First thing is, I want to pray for anyone that you want to just say, God, use me this way in a new way, a way that I maybe haven't seen before. So if that's what you want, why don't you raise your hands and I'm just going to pray for you. And I'm praying for myself. Lord, I pray that you would help me to see things in a new way. Anything I'm not noticing, whether it's in the church or in my life or in my neighborhood or in my family, anything I'm not noticing, even my own kin, even my own sons and daughters, anything I'm not noticing about ministering to the weak, even that person that treats me so horribly and badly, they're weak. I pray, God, for everyone here. So we raise our hands to heaven. We just ask you, God, give us this voice, the mercy that speaks and rewards. I pray, give us courage. And I pray you would touch that little button in us that notices stuff. That notices stuff. Just notice it. And we respond to it in just a little tiny way. giving somebody a blanket, being nice to them, give them your parking spot, showing compassion to someone that's next door that nobody likes but seems to be aggravating as a neighbor. Just that little bit of mercy that maybe goes beyond what normal people would do. That mercy that responds to a little tug of compassion. I pray to help us all be like that, all around us, whether it's at the office, whether it's at home, whether it's in a whole other country. Lord, I just pray, God, we'd be full of mercy that speaks and rewards. And honestly, today, I felt the Lord showed me something. He loves even small things. Because if you let guilt come and condemn you because you haven't done enough or not, that will get you absolutely nowhere. Condemnation does not help you be a better person. Compassion, on the other hand, will get you. So, Lord, I pray, God, you would release a new level of compassion in us that speaks to our co-workers and our friends and, Lord, to the world. And I pray, God, you would press our notice button. We just notice something and then we just do a nice thing about it. I pray you'd help us, all of us, in a new way. Our next-door neighbor, our friends, people at work, a client that we have. Some of you are going to have clients that were sent to you, and it's not about business at all. If I were you, I wouldn't neglect them. They may not be your client in one way, but they might be your client in another way. Maybe God gave you that client just so that you could interface with them in a different way than you thought. I say that prophetically. Some of you have people you're interacting with, you're even selling things to, or they're selling things to you. And the only reason why you have that relationship is not because of your money. It's because they're a divine appointment waiting to happen. Some of you work in places that you would characterize as absolutely horrible. This is not a house of God where I work. Well, most of you don't work in houses of God. But you could make it a house of God. Just move your house in there. And maybe just one there, maybe you have a divine appointment. I pray, Lord, we have divine appointments all over the place. And Lord, where we see that little tug in our heart where, man, you just feel like you want to do something, but you don't know what to do. I just pray you just show us something little to do. Just anything. You said something about a cup of cold water, and even you get your reward. I think you're not that picky. Maybe not as picky and religious as we are. So Lord, I pray, God, from this message, you would just sow this beautiful, lovely compassion. And I pray it would, as we give away the mercy that speaks and rewards, I pray, God, that we would just feel the pleasure of you on us, and I pray even whole new things would be birthed, new ways. And Lord, I pray also, okay, here comes the big one. Some of us have blood-stinking enemies that we can't stand, that have treated us badly. Oh, my. Now I'm stepping on toes. Does mercy extend there? Oh, man. I wouldn't want anybody to say that to me, but it does extend there too. So, Lord, I pray that you just give us a way to show some kind of mercy, even in a negative, horrible situation, Lord, because it's hard. But you did that to us, didn't you? So, Lord, I pray that you'd use us that way too. Now, I think there's some reward the Lord wants to give away today. The Lord showed me this. Not because you deserve it, not because you're such a great giver, but because God loves us. And he gives away his mercy so freely. I pray, even though I sort of gave a works message today, I believe this is a day for the free giving away of wonderful healing, anointing, and power this morning. I highly recommend if you're sick, come to the front right now. If you have something wrong in your body, come to the front. And I highly recommend anybody that prays for the sick, any of our ministry team, to come over to the front right now too. Because as we just worship here a little bit, Lord, and we go home, I pray, Lord, as people come forward for prayer, I pray, God, you would release lovely, powerful, amazing, unearned mercy to us, Lord. And you would heal and restore illnesses that have been on for a long time, situations that have sucked and been terrible for a long time and made us dry and angry. I pray you would come to our aid. I pray that whatever we pray for in this auditorium, I pray, God, you'd speak to us, you would heal us, you would deliver us. I pray this would be a lovely time for ministry from the Holy Spirit, us in our weakness to you, by God's power and God's grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're just going to do some worship here. We're formally dismissed. If you'd like to come up for prayer for any reason, come on up. I'll be here, and a number of us will be here just praying for people. God bless.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We're so glad that you made it. If you have questions or would like more information about our church, go to vineyardln.com, and we'll see you next time.